to the Mommy Beta Podcast. This is episode 14. I always get the episode number wrong, and so I double checked it. This is indeed episode 14, and we are four new mommies beta testing parenthood. Today we are again three new mommies because one Natalie is missing. The Natalie that is speaking is present. I'm Natalie Morris. We also have Jennifer and Alex. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
How are we doing today? Everyone good? President accounted for?
Yes. A little smelly, but that's kind of
a little tired.
Smelly, tired. I've got all of those things. I've got a sick daddy. So not a sick baby, but a sick daddy, which makes for a completely different mothering experience now because you have to take care of two.
Oh, daddies are so much worse than babies.
I know. It's so pathetic. And especially because he knows what's wrong with him and he knows what he needs to do to get better. And today he was just sort of laying his head on my lap in the couch. And I was telling you girls earlier, I was using the WebMD iPad app to make sure that it was a stomach bug, which it was definitively a stomach bug. And I said, well, you have to do the brat diet. And he goes, what is that? And I said, you know, bananas, rice, applesauce, and toast. And he didn't want any of those things. I'm like, look, it's right here. Oh, I don't know. I mean, after not eating for so long, you want... He brought out this bean bacon soup. I'm like, are you insane? You want to eat beans?
That sounds so gross.
After it.
From a can?
Yes, even worse, which I'm always protesting when he puts that in the shopping cart. I'm like, we don't need this, preservatives. But he, you know, buys it for on the off occasion when he's alone and wants to eat something by himself. So to have a stomach flu and then want to eat beans, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So. Gatorade's always great too. Tom had food poisoning a couple of months ago, and I know that was just so relieving for him. The fluid, you know, it's refreshing.
Yeah, it is. So we didn't have any of that, so I've been giving him just the clear liquids like 7-Up and water and that kind of thing, and then also the brat diet.
Ginger ale helps too.
I actually gave him some of Miles' baby food because it said to eat applesauce with no sugar in it, so I make that for Miles, so he had some baby food as well. Perfect. So he's on the mend. Nevertheless, this is the podcast where we actually talk about what we're blogging about on mommybeta.com, and I haven't blogged about a sick daddy at all. Jennifer wanted to bring up this parenting.com and Today Show survey that's been playing on the Today Show. I saw this last week and had a very visceral reaction to it, but Jennifer, why don't you tell us about the update to the survey?
Yeah, and I was actually pretty annoyed last week, too. I mean, they were asking questions that I didn't feel necessarily related so much to our everyday life or that we had no control over anyway. So what was the point of even asking the questions like, would you rather weigh 15 pounds less than add 15 points to your IQ? You know, I mean, what's the point of asking that question? And then it was even more shocking that 45% of moms said they would.
Right.
So for this week, they focused on working moms, which I think is a topic that all of us are constantly discussing. And we feel very lucky, or at least I know I do, that I can actually work from home. And the survey results were pretty surprising to me, but I'll just read them to you ladies. 42% of moms said they would rather get a 50% raise at work than spend 50% more time with their kids.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, that's surprising.
So they'd rather make more money than get... Well, I guess if you make 50% more, you don't have to pay the nanny 50% more, right?
And at the same time, actually, I'd be curious, is it 50% more? And I mean, it depends on the situation. Like if I was the breadwinner of the family and I had to choose, like, okay, then I would have to make more money. So I'd want to know a little more background on that.
Right. I think it depends on the situation you're in at home and how much money's involved and all that kind of stuff. I should point out that 74% of the women surveyed work outside the home. So just to get that started, that's where all these numbers are coming from. So, I was pretty shocked about that. But yeah, it's all situational. So another one said that one in five moms said they would choose a more flexible career if they could do a do-over. So only one in five. And one in 10 said they would concentrate more on their career during motherhood and if they could do it over. And then nearly one in three moms admit to using work as an excuse to get out of childcare, which I think, you know, that's understandable. I totally get that. There are days when you have had enough, you've broken up enough fights, you've dealt with the crying all day, and you know what? I've got to, you know, I've got to get to work. Yeah. Here's the baby. So the one that I thought was interesting is 20% of say they judge other moms who work too much. And this, I felt like, for me, I was like, I don't judge working moms. I feel like the opposite most of the time, that people are judging me because I'm working at home.
We're working too little.
Yeah, maybe we're not working enough, right. Mm-hmm. But then I stopped myself because I actually thought about someone that I actually know, and I do judge them. I think that they work way too much. They work 100 plus hours a month. They're in the office until 11 p.m. every night. They're working on vacations. They go on vacations without their children when they don't even see them during the week. You know, so I do judge those moms, and I don't want to. I hate it, but you know, I know their kids are really missing out from not having that time with them.
Hmm. Now, you had said something when this was first played last week. You said it annoyed me because I knew what they were trying to do from a PR sense. What did you mean by that?
So I just meant, like, as a PR person or a professional, we're constantly working on ways to get into the news. And the reason I brought that up is because these people were doing these surveys so that, or parenting and, you know, Today's Show. But then if you look back at it, these are media outlets that are looking to do this on their own. And now they're really touching upon issues that I feel are very sensitive to moms and should be talked about. So I completely retract what I said last week. I was in the wrong, and I shouldn't be upset for anyone's success anyway.
I don't know. I mean, part of it, like I said, I think that they did frame it in a way that made it seem like, gosh, we really just, as a society, don't like motherhood, and we're feeling like we wish that we had more glorified positions in life. And I think that they could have maybe framed it a little bit more contextually, and especially the anecdotal interviews that they had with women who are like, I just feel like I can never get a break. And that's, it's a narrative we're familiar with. It's not no secret that we all want breaks sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I think they might have done this maybe a little sensationally. I don't know. What do you think, Alex? I know you didn't see it, but
no, I didn't see it. I wanted to bring up a point about the working mom, and I think it's all a personal preference. I went to go visit my husband at work, and a gal who just had a baby, 3.5 months old, it was her first day back. And so I saw her, she came out to see Reese. And the first thing she said, I said, oh my gosh, how are you doing? Because I assumed like it must be really hard for her the first day back. She's like, you know, I dropped him off and I'm absolutely fine. It feels good to be back. And she paused because I think she saw the look on my face. And she's like, oh my gosh, I must be a bad mom. And I'm like, absolutely not. I mean,
no.
And then I was impressed that she could detach herself so easily and, you know, get back into work. And then I felt a little bit jealous that she could. I was a little bit like, oh, I wish I could be a little bit more like that, because I am so attached to Reese and I'm so attached to this mother role right now, maybe a little too much. And I thought, okay, I admire her for being, you know, a career go-getter mom. Mm-hmm. And so it just made me think that it just, you know, it's all personal preference. I always said I was going to go back right away, and you know, I tried it out and it didn't work so much, and now I'm taking a little more time off to focus on some other stuff. So it's all interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting, and we all have to make our own choices. Although last week we had talked about this, and then the four of us were like, oh, isn't it so great we can all work from home? And I thought, God, if there are other working moms out here who just don't have the choice who are listening to us, they're going to think we're such spoiled little B-words.
No, and then We put in our time.
And that's the thing, is I feel when I meet people out, or yesterday I was at the park, you know, and I met someone, and I was like, oh, yeah, I work from home, because I don't know what the stigma is, that what's so wrong about being a mom at home and not working? I am working, but you know, what would be,
who don't have kids. And I worked in a PR office, and I think Jennifer, you did too. There were probably about 100 people, but the stigma is, you know, working moms, they work less. So if you come back and you're a part-time mom, then you leave at 5 and you don't sign back on, and because you have to go pick up the kids, which is not reality. Every single working mom in PR that I saw, you know, they may leave at 5, but they're on as soon as the kids go to sleep. So from like, you know, 7:30 to midnight. So even if they were quote unquote part-time, they were working their butts off.
So I think even more so, because once you get done, once the baby's down, it's on the computer, right. And
It's true, but in an economy like this, there is no such thing as putting in your time. If you have to work, you have to work. There are women who put in more hours than all of us combined who still continuously have to work. Either they don't have a dad or, you know, they're in a different SES income bracket. And so I felt really privileged to have that conversation, and I felt a little bit humbled by us all saying, yeah, good for us. We don't have to take muni anymore. And so I just thought that, you know, maybe we should tip our hats to the women who do have to go to work every day. And I did that when Miles was 3 months. I went back to work until he was 8 months. And it was hard. It's hard to say goodbye. He cried when I left. That was really hard on me. The hardest part for me was that I am, you know, the manager of his life when I'm home. And then I would go off and I'd come back and be like, okay, I'm the manager again. And Clayton would be like, well, no, he already had a bottle. Or, you know, the nanny would say, well, no, he woke up and he's already been changed. And for me to come in and be like, I'm the boss, was hard, because you're not the boss in the first couple hours. You're just catching up. And so that's one of the beauties of being home with your child all the time, is you are the boss 110% of the time, except for the half hour a week we do this podcast.
A couple friends of mine that have gone back to work, I am working moms, they've chosen to go back to work, and they've actually said that they, you know, feel refreshed when they come home, and they're better for being at work, even if it was a crazy day, because they can come back and their attention for the 1 or 2 hours that they get to spend with their child is 100%. It's like, you know, the bath time, feeding, story time, and that's all they focus on, versus, you know, sometimes, because I'm with Reese all day, at the end of the day, I'm so tired and I feel, you know, not that I'm neglecting her, but I'm like, okay, Reese, I need a little mommy time. Yeah. I'm like, I need a little mommy time, you know? So I'll put her in the living room to play, and I'll go in the kitchen. And of course she follows me. But so sometimes I look at it, I'm like, oh, it's a luxury to go into the office and then, you know, have that quote unquote break and then come back and focus your attention 100% on the baby.
Yeah, it did feel, there are parts of it that I missed. If I wanted to, you know, shop for crib sheets or something, like I can't just do that with him banging away at my keyboard and, you know, he wants something. Like, you can go and you can, although, and the opposite is true, when you're at work though, you don't want to just hang out and maybe have drinks later with your coworkers and also be on Facebook. Like, you're working when you're at work to get stuff done because you want to get home to your kid. So it makes you more efficient in both areas. And I think that's why we all have trouble with it, is because it's hard to balance when, you know, their number one priority is staring at us 24/7.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I can completely relate on not feeling I give like 100% of time to Elle when I'm with her all the time, because you're with them all the time. And so you're like, okay, I got to do some work. I got to write this email.
Yeah.
And I recently actually took on my second project, or whatever number project this is, for PR consulting. Thanks. So I brought the nanny in from 8 to noon one more day. So that's time away from Elle, but I'll be making substantially more. So it's good. But I question that too, you know, oh, that's more time away from her. But really, I take more time away when I don't ask for help, because I'm trying to work it in when I can with her. And if I don't have these hours where I can specifically sit down for 4 hours and focus, then it doesn't really get done as effectively and efficiently. And then I end up wasting time when I'm with her. So
yeah,
that's a little rant.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to Alex's post this week. I really loved this one because she talked about being brave. And I loved the examples you gave about, like, being afraid to swim or being afraid to squash a bug, and how motherhood makes you a lot more brave. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So I was thinking, it's all about being brave. And I was talking to Josh, my husband, and he was asking when I was going to sign Reese up for swim lessons. He said, I'm going to get to it. And so finally I decided to do it. And then I thought, because he was talking about our next trip and, you know, maybe we should go to Hawaii and we can all go snorkeling together. And I've been snorkeling maybe once before with him and it was great, but I'm a little timid. Okay, I'm not timid. I'm freaked out by the ocean. I don't know how to swim well. I can float and kind of doggy paddle if I need to. But then I thought, you know, what kind of example is this? If I'm afraid to be in the water, I should be brave, especially if I'm going to be taking Reese to swim lessons. So I decided I was also going to sign up for swim lessons. So both of us start in September. I'm really excited about that. And then I thought about all the other things that I'm afraid of. Afraid of heights, driving over bridges and planes mostly. I'm definitely afraid of spiders and bees. You know, if a spider would come crawling toward me, I would scream bloody murder. And Josh would, you know, come squish it. I remember this time there was this, and when I had roommates, there was a spider in my room and I woke one of my roommates up to come kill it. They were not happy, but I bought them a nice bottle of wine. So I've had this fear my entire life. And now that I have a baby, it's all changed. My perspective has changed. And I feel like, you know, I'm the mom and I'm brave and I want to set a really good example for her. And I can already see that she's a little bit timid in new situations. She just kind of checks out the scene before she goes and explores. Well, you know, which is good because she's just checking it out before delving in. But I don't want her to be scared of things. And so I'm just trying to set a good example, and I'm trying to introduce her to new things early on, things that I wasn't introduced to. And it's been fun. It's great. And it's a little bit humbling and eye-opening just because I feel like I've made the conscious decision to do this. I'm wondering if you guys have found this about being a mom.
I thought this was an absolutely beautiful blog post. I just wanted to say that. I have been meaning to comment, but I haven't gotten around to it yet because there are some things in here I didn't know about you as a person, too. but I completely agree with you. I definitely am less afraid of things now that I have someone that I'm here to defend. You know, she's helpless without me. So I can't really recall anything off the top of my head. I think it has more to do with people and trying to save her from getting sick or, you know, being around sick little kids and mommies who don't necessarily worry too much about that and, you know, putting their kids out there or, you know, even adults with like colds and things like that. And I'm, or worse. And I'm like, you know, step away from the baby. So things like that, things that I wouldn't necessarily have stepped in and may have thought people would think I'm silly, but, you know, right. I don't really care about it anymore.
It's
and
true.
Do gross things too, more than like, you know, squished banana squished into the floor that just grosses me out, or like, you know, squished meat and food that's everywhere. And normally I would have looked at if Miles was someone else's kid, I'd be like, gross, this kid needs sprayed down. But it's my kid, so I'll just get in there and, you know, wash him up. But clean poo out of a high chair
so
the other day.
yeah, the poo stuff is tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we don't even think about it anymore.
You don't have to, you just can't be squeamish. But the same with bugs, too. Like, if there's an ant or a spider crawling near him, I'll just take care of it. I don't, you know, I can't run to Clayton every time, especially if he's not home. So you just do it. You just step in and do it.
Yeah. There, oh my God, I just lost my train of thought. It was actually a good one too. Damn. Okay. Well, moving on.
I'm sure it was brilliant.
We have those all day long.
Yeah.
We can blame it on baby brain. It still happens.
Baby brain.
A year later?
Well, yeah. What about baby body? That's what I was talking about this week. I blogged on Mommy Beta about how there are some things that I just try and keep up with in my personal life, and then there are some where I'm just like, I can't do this, I can't be bothered, and it just stresses me out. And there's such little things that I know if I just did it, it would make me feel better and stop stressing me out, like just, you know, just clean the toilet. Like, just do it. Otherwise, you're going to keep telling yourself you don't have time for it. It's going to continue to stress you out. And so I was looking in the mirror the other day. I was like, whoa, I look like the Cookie Monster. Because I have not tweezed my eyebrows in I don't know how long. And I'll talk to my sister on video chat over Skype, and she's like, what is wrong with your eyebrows? And so I was sort of putting it out there, like, is there anything else that other people can relate to? Just these little things that you know you can do in 2 minutes, but you just don't because you're like, oh, I'm overwhelmed.
You know what's funny? I was laughing, and I'm really embarrassed to say this, but I know I'm not the only one. So I don't shower every day. Maybe it's like 5 times a week instead of 7 times a week.
I just haven't showered since Monday.
I think you've been.
I haven't showered, but I haven't washed my hair. I mean, it's bad.
Yeah, and I don't, and I, you know, I use the dry shampoo, and I was like, this is gross. And so sometimes Josh will come home, he's like, give me a shower. I'm like, nope. He's like, oh, that's okay. And I don't, I will say, unless I work out or I'm meeting people, like for out for drinks, and of course I will shower because I don't want to be smelly. But I went to Jennifer's yesterday. I'm like, okay, just so you know, I'm a mess.
Looked at each other, and you know, you looked great to me.
Oh, you're sweet.
I know, Alex, you look like someone who's always so perfectly put together with such high fashion new clothes and all of that stuff. It surprises me that, I mean, I think that's a pretty commonly accepted perception of you, wouldn't you say, Jennifer?
Totally, definitely. Yeah, so,
you guys are hilarious.
I'm not sure if Josh is doing some online shopping for you, you know.
Yeah, I see your albums on Facebook. I'm like, what a cute top. Where did she have time to go buy that top? Or, the, you know, those cute little, like all the stuff in your Tahoe album. And I'm like, what's wrong? How come she has all this time?
That's funny. Shop? But those are outings and events. But if you saw me in an everyday, like I'm in my Lulu pants and a tank top, sweatshirt, hair in a ponytail. I will say I always have makeup on, though.
Yeah, I liked that post. Was it you that posted I was reading something on Babbel, like 20 ways to feel better about yourself when you're a work at home or stay at home mom. And one of them was put makeup on. It'll just make you feel better.
So I feel pretty.
I try and usually just put on eyeliner.
I do blush and lipstick. Yeah. Those are my two.
Yeah. I do mascara. It's my thing. So. Oh, and then as far as things as I've let go, shaving is probably one of the number ones. My husband got me a gift for our anniversary, last year's anniversary gift, which our second anniversary is coming up this end of this month. And thank you. So it was like a spa gift certificate that was going to expire. It was like a Groupon. So I went to have my procedures or whatever they're called. And so I had a massage, and then I had like a luxurious pedicure, which I was very much in the need for. That's another thing that goes by the wayside, my feet. The lady's like, you do a lot of walking. I'm like, I do. I have a daughter. It's my excuse whenever I go to these beauty visits, you know, and you're like, whoa, what happened to you? And you're like, oh, I have a daughter. I haven't gotten out for a while.
And as the baby gets older, you're like, oh, I just had a baby. And they're like, when?
Oh, she's one. Yeah, so I went for my pedicure and I realized that I hadn't shaved. And I'm like, great, you know, because they have to rub your legs. And I'm like, these people are probably thinking I don't take care of myself at all. But so shaving. Yeah. My husband, luckily, doesn't really seem to mind so much.
I think shaving's probably one of the last things that they even notice. So, but I always say, like, oh, I'm sorry, you're going to get an exfoliation on your hand.
Totally. Or and cleaning out the fridge. Oh my gosh. That's the thing that drives me crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Just those little things where you're like, I could just do this in 2 minutes, but for some reason I'm letting it haunt me and it makes me feel like I'm totally just thrown in the towel. So anyhow, well, I guess that's all that we're really talking about this week. We're missing Natalie. She's off on some fancy vacation.
In Michigan, yeah.
Yeah. So she's posting photos of her next to a beautiful lake on Facebook. That's the worst when you're not on vacation and seeing someone else on some fancy trip.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, well, make sure that you are all stopping by mommybeta.com on a regular basis. We're giving away a lot of fun stuff this week, including a nursing cover and the Ergo baby carrier, which is very exciting. Alex, you're getting a ton of submissions for that. So that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I think Jennifer and I have been very excited and happy with ours and posting about it. So
yeah. Love, love, love it. Lifesaver.
Mm-hmm.
I love that photo, too. The picture of the on the contest. It's beautiful.
Oh yeah, they sent that over to us.
Did they?
Very chic.
Yeah.
Oh, so nice. Okay. And then what's coming up? We're giving away the Ergo, and then there's something else coming up that escapes my. It's probably good though. Make sure you come by.
Yeah, come by.
Okay. Have to look that one up. We haven't gotten there yet.
I'm sure it's fantastic. You want it? Trust me.
Yes.
All right. Well, we always end our podcast with a little victory. One of us can share something that just makes us super excited to be staying home with our little baby, or raising these little babies, not necessarily staying home with them. And Jennifer, you want to take it this week?
Sure, it's a little victory, but Elle's clapping her hands.
Yay, that's so cute.
I love it. So when she eats something she likes, she'll clap, or, you know, if you dance around, she'll clap. So I love it. It's really
that's
cute.
That's so fun. And in that video that you posted about breakfast on mommybeta.com, it sounds like she says yum. Is that her first word?
I think yum was her first word. Yeah.
So cute.
It's a testament to my cooking. I mean, what can I say?
Love it.
Because you say yum and she goes yum. And I'm like, that's definitely yum.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I have agreement, because I think as moms, we always think we hear things. And I don't, you know, haven't wanted to say anything unless anyone else is like, did she say? I'm like,
No, yesterday when Reese and I were there, she definitely said yum when I was feeding her avocado and banana.
Oh, good. Well, yay. Yum's first word.
As good as
another little victory. Yeah.
It's so fun. They talked about this on Daddy on Board. They talked about how the things that you know, you can hear your child's language, but no one else does, because you can hear the evolution of these things as they turn into words. And so Miles will say something and I'm like, well, that's hi there to someone else. And they're like, that sounded like nothing recognizable. I'm like, it is. Just believe me.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I mean. I was like, okay, I'm going to wait till other people can understand what her word is before I can say it's her first word. But yeah, I hear people talking all the time, even to their 2-year-old. And I'm like, what? What kind of language is that?
That's how my mom, you know, our friend Lisa Wade, she came to Miles' birthday party and her 2-year-old was saying something. He was like, blah, 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 blah. And Lisa would go, he wants more chips. And my mom's like, I don't understand what that little boy says. He's really smart and he talks a ton, and he'll talk, you know, and she's just like, well, he wants this, this, and this. And like, that's how I am. I'm glad that I'm not the only person. So anyhow, well, if you have any questions or comments or anything to say to us, you can always email mb@mommybeta.com. You can just post comments on the blog at mommybeta.com, or tweet us at mommybeta, or go to our Facebook fan page. There's no shortage of ways to get in touch with us, and we are listening. Thank you for listening to us this week. That concludes episode 14, and we'll get our numbers back on session. Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You and me, happy as can be, flying through the park on our bikes on a Sunday afternoon. You and me, rolling on the floor, practicing your somersaults, your cartwheels, your donkey kicks, and more. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. So proud of you. You and me drawing pictures wild and free, while the paint goes flying, your big smile, it brightens up the room. Your head on my shoulder, your eyes on the pages ahead. How did you grow so big overnight? How did you get so smart and bright? Yesterday you were asleep in my arms, today you're growing off the charts. I'm so proud of you.